God showed David the pattern that the permanent temple is going to be. But David knew it's got to be magnificent and full of glory.
On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim share how sin separated man from God. But unity in the body of Christ is what will bring God's glory back to mankind through Jesus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy's still teaching us about the glory today. We're getting excited. You just start thinking about the glory of God being manifest in the earth, and it is very, very exciting.
That's very, very true. Mm. And you know, the glory of God that man was crowned with, Adam was crowned with glory, it says in Psalm 8, and he fell from the glory. And when he fell from the glory, then God was separated from him.
Yes.
Adam.
Sin separated him.
Sin separated him. He became spiritually dead. In the day that you eat this up, you're going to die.
That's right.
So he died spiritually that very day. And God then, he can no longer stand in God's presence. God can't go down there in the evenings visit him.
No.
He would consume him. He would burn him up. And so for 2,000 years, God is separated from his man. And God can't approach man. Too dangerous on man.
Right.
Too dangerous for him. But God had a plan before the foundation of the earth. And Satan, he saw that. And he said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? He thought he'd separated God from that man so that that man could never work with God and God could never work with that man. But God has a plan. This book here is a plan.
Yes, amen.
Sometimes I say, oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan.
Yes, amen.
And to tell you the real truth, when I got into this and I got studying this, I came to see that the Bible was the story of the glory, as a story of man. So here the glory of God is separated, but God's going to get that glory back down in the earth. So it has an entry point.
Amen.
And that entry point is in Exodus chapter 3.
Exodus chapter 3.
Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Moses, remember he'd been raised up in the house of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. What did the glory appear as? Sometimes fire.
Fire.
And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe, that's how you pronounce it. And he said, Hineni, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground.
Praise God.
What is this? The whole earth, Gloria, had fallen under the curse. And if God came down on that earth, he'd burn the whole place up. So what he's done here is work his plan, and he cleaned him off a little spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he made that little spot holy. That's what holy means, separated. And he tells Moses, don't come on here with your shoes. Now, this is my what I think why. Those shoes are made of an animal skin, and that means death. So death, I think, could not step in that spot. And so Moses then comes in, and he steps on the spot, and that's when he's telling Moses his plan to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that plan to get his children of Israel out of Egypt is going to further involve God getting to be closer to his man. So if you will turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24, what God said to Moses was, you go back and you tell Pharaoh, Let my people go, and I want my people to come 3 days' journey out into the wilderness and meet with me on the mountain. So you know the story. You know how Pharaoh said no, and you know the 10 plagues, and you know that finally with the plague of the death of the firstborn and the blood on the doorpost, Israel was saved. And then they came to the sea, and the sea parted, and they came across. And so then they're coming out, and God begins to give the plan. He's going to re-enter the earth with His presence and the glory of His presence. Eventually, the whole earth's going to be filled with His glory. But He's doing this by step, by degree. And that's one thing you find out about glory. It enters, it grows by degree. It's measurable. Mm. So He says to Moses, He says to him, meet me out upon the mountain. And when you get here, you're going to have to be watchful. Because you tell the people, you're making a border. Don't have them come past that. It's going to be dangerous for them. Was it that God didn't want them near Him? No, He wants them near, but they're not ready to be near Him.
Yeah.
So they come to the mountain, and here is this one mountain. Now He's clean off more than a little spot. He's clean off a mountain, and He's come down on there with His glory. And so, verse 15 of chapter 24. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Now here's the cloud, see? And the glory of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, it's Yahweh. Some say Jehovah. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight, in the Old Testament, when it talks about it, you could always see it. You could always tell it was there. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. They could see it. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights.
Was he in the glory 40 days and 40 nights?
He was. And probably caught up to heaven, the heavenly realm as he went to the top. But here are the children down there watching. Now, then the Lord speaks to Moses. Verse 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Now, this is the first time he's had contact with mankind in 2,000 years. And he says, Moses, here's what I want you to tell them to do.
25:1.
I want them to do what? Bring me an offering. Some people don't like offerings. God likes them because He knows they're good for you. He says, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you tell them to bring me an offering. And every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Now, what are you going to do with this offering? Verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. He wants to get close to his man. He made man to have fellowship with him. Adam fell from the glory and he couldn't have any fellowship with man. Now this is the re-entry of the glory. This is the re-entry of the presence of God with his man. And he says, Moses, you make me a sanctuary because I want to dwell among my people.
Praise God.
And he showed Moses a pattern of the tabernacle and the instruments. So he told Moses how to make this, what's called in the Hebrew, the tent of meeting. The tent, the Ohel Moed. The tent where they can go and meet with God. And as much of his glory as can be legally manifested without killing all the tribes of Israel is going to dwell over this tabernacle.
Praise God.
And he's going to, he said, make me a tent of meeting, verse 22. And there I will meet with you, and I will commune with you. from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I shall give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So he has a plan to re-enter his glory without killing them. Moses, you're going to have to do it right. You're going to have that priesthood separated. You're going to have the blood of these little lambs. And every blood of every little lamb of the Old Testament stood for the blood that's going to come of the Lamb of God. And those little lambs stood for that. And so he could push off man's sin by these. He made the steps. Don't you touch the ark now. I'm going to separate me a group and they're going to carry the ark. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how you handle the ark. Here's how you handle the presence. It's like fire, holy fire, and it's the fire of God, and you don't want to get burned by it. And this is as much I can do right now. So they got to bring these willing heart offerings.
Willing hearts.
And there's a lot that could be told about that in Exodus 35, but they did it, every man that had a willing heart. And then Moses, he built the tabernacle in the wilderness, which is the first reentry of the glory. And we can read about that in chapter 40. Chapter 40 of the book of Exodus. So he does it. All those chapters between chapter 25 and 40 are telling Moses how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so he did it, and he did it right too. You don't get to make up the plan. You don't get to make up the pattern. You just do it because God says to do it. And he showed Moses exactly how to do it, and he gifted the people how to do it. And chapter 40 and verse 33 says, so Moses finished the work.
Praise God.
Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. There's the cloud again. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the cloud of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the glory filled it, the presence of the Lord. And Moses, he couldn't even get in there at the first because of the glory of the Lord. Its substance, its holy substance, is the substance
of God.
Now, he's there. He's in the tent of meeting. But also, he's going to travel with them. This tabernacle was a tent. It was portable. And so, verse 36, he led them by his glory. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. And if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. Mm. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night.
Praise God.
In the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. They followed the cloud. They followed the fire. They followed God. And so they followed him in the journeys. And they went eventually to Shiloh or Shiloh, where the Joshua settled there for 369 years, I believe it was. It was there. And then there came to the time when it's going to take up a permanent abode. God had told them from the first, he told to Abraham, there's a place I've got that I'm going to put my name on. And that place is Mount Moriah. We say Moriah in Israel. And on that mountain, in that place, he had them build a permanent house. When he was speaking to David about it, he said to David, you can't build it. David discovered the place of it. He found it. But he said, you're Solomon's going to build it for me. And so David said in 1 Chronicles 22:5, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David prepared for it abundantly before his death. God showed David the pattern that the permanent temple is going to be. But David knew it's got to be magnificent and full of glory. God's houses are to be magnificent and full of glory.
Praise God.
So, Solomon builds it. Now, Gloria, the first time this is being shown, the first time, I know you can watch it on Roku. I know you can watch it on BVOV, bringing it all up. But the first time it's shown on television is exactly the time when this temple was dedicated. It's Sukkot. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. I think we're on that beginning day right now. And that's the time of year it was. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles, which stands for when Jesus will come, when the Messiah will come, and he will restore his kingdom on the earth. So here, they move into the temple on that very day. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1, I didn't put this in here, Gloria. It was too long to put, so you're going to have to look it up in your Bible. You look it up there at home. 2 Chronicles
chapter 5
and verse 1. Remember how it said that Moses finished the work of the tabernacle? Here we've got the line that Solomon finished the work. The house of God always has a finish. So here's the finish for the temple. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers unto the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David and the tabernacle. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which is in the seventh month. That's today, October. In Israel, it's the day of that feast. So all the children of Israel are there. There are millions of them. Now here's Mount Moriah, and all around it are other mountains, as the mountains are all around Jerusalem, so the Lord is all around his people. Mm-hmm. And all up on those mountainsides are for 2.5 million people, 3 million, and some more by now, together, they cover every mountain. And they're dressed in white, probably dressed in white, so imagine what they look like. Mm. So it came to pass, verse 13, I think we'll do first.
Where are you reading, Bill?
I'm reading from 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 11, which you'll have to look up in your Bible because I didn't type this all out. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. There are 24 classes of the priests. There's 4,000 of them in the Levitical singers. And they didn't wait for their courses. Now they're all there. And there's at least 4,000 of them, of the Levites. And the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. So there's 4,000 in the Levitical choir. There's 120 of the priests that have got trumpets. They've also got other instruments. And verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Yes, he is.
For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. They would have sung it antiphonally. And it says, hallelujah. That's the meaning of praise the Lord. Ki tov, for he is good. Ki leolam hasdo, forever his mercy endures. And they said that, the Levitical choir leader had a white cloth. And he would say, for he is good. And then the people would say, for he is good. Ki tov, Ki tov. Ki le'olam hasdo. Ki le'olam hasdo. The trumpeters are playing. I think it's shofars. They're singing. And suddenly they sound like one. They come into unity. Hmm. Unity is important for the glory.
Yes, yes.
And they get to a place, even under that old covenant, they got to a place of unity. And when they did, then the end of verse 13, the house was filled with a cloud, the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Why? For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God.
Praise God.
So that presence of God, that made its re-entry back there in the bush and then in the tabernacle, now it's on this house, this place in Jerusalem where he has put his name. And the glory of the Lord is seen like a pillar of fire over that temple night and day.
Praise God.
And there it was, as long as Israel lived according to the way God told them to live. Now you think about it, Glory. We're skipping ahead. We're going to talk about this more in detail. But now, the Bible says whose house we are. The Bible says, know you not you are the temple of God?
That's what it says.
And the Bible says in Ephesians that we are going to be a glorious house. A house filled with the glory of God. This church of the living God, who the Holy Ghost is building. Moses finished his work. Solomon finished his work. And the New Testament says that the Holy Ghost is building this house. Mm. He's going to finish it. And before we leave here, I don't know how long, Gloria, but before we leave here, we're going to leave a glorious church filled with the glory of God.
Praise.
Manifesting Him. Earth is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Praise.
And they're going to see it, Gloria. I don't know how long.
Yes.
But the glory is being increased in us, and we're going to talk about how that happens. And we're going to be, just like the Bible says, just like Ephesians says, a glorious church.
Oh, Lord,
without a blemish, wholly separated unto God.
We see it. We expect it to manifest. We see it by faith in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. A glorious house. You want to be part of that house too. Get born again. Make Jesus Lord of your life. You become glorious.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you start out,
that's right.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Billy, and I'll be right back.
What is the glory of God? It is the manifest presence of God for your daily life. It strengthens your relationship with God and makes His goodness real to you. Experience God's presence like never before with the Glory Package. Kenneth Hagin provides a clear picture of God's glory and shares his personal experiences in the CD teaching, The Glory of God. God is a God of glory. Now is the time for His signs and wonders to be seen. Discover the truth about the connection between the blood of Jesus and God's glory in Billy Brim's book, The Blood and the Glory. Overcome the enemy and be protected by the blood of Jesus. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit and be covered in the glory of God. How to Walk in Love, a CD teaching by Billy Brim, reveals that the greater your love walk, the more God's glory will increase in your life. Now is the time for you to live in the glory.
Experience God's glory in your life today. Request your copy of the Glory Package for only $15.99 by calling 800-600-7395, or you can go online at kcm.org/TV special. Prepare to experience God's glory as never before. Learn the importance of depending on the blood of Jesus in your daily walk with God. Request your copy of the Glory Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries today.
Even now, the glorious church is being finished. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a day when it's all over and we're out of here And you don't want to miss that day. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to be a part of the glorious church, which is the only safe place to be, all you have to do is just say, Jesus, I receive you. Say it from your heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Say what I said to him. I said, take my life and do something with it. Glory to God. I never dreamed this would be it. But he's got plans. He's got big plans.
He's
got big plans compared to our little peanut plans when we're trying to plan our life. Get in on his plan. Today is the beginning of your new life in Christ. And we have some things to give you, a free salvation package called, a book called He Did It All For You, two brochures on how to read and study your Bible. That, you know, in the Bible, is the reason it's so important is those things belong to you.
Yes.
Jesus himself personally purchased the blessing for your life and for my life, for Billy's life. But until you receive him as Lord and Savior, you're not in that place. You're not in that place to receive the blessing. So right now, you could just right now say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it. I give it to you. I make you the Lord of my life. And glory to God. If you even if you've never had any run-in with God, you hardly know him at all, you'll be born again.
That's right.
You'll be become a child of God. So go to, if you want some more information and you want the salvation package that's free, go to kcm.org. If you made Jesus Lord of your life today, be sure and let Billy and me know. We'll be so happy. We'll rejoice with you. God loves you and he will never forsake you. You can depend on him and his word. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, call the prayer line. We have people on staff that know how to pray and get results. God is good and he loves you. His mercy endures forever. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Learn who you are in Christ and how to begin your new life in victory. Request your free salvation package today at kcm.org/salvation. Jesus did it all for you. Receive his love and experience the good life God has for you. For additional teaching and free information on salvation, go to kcm.org/salvation. Continue to grow in God's Word with this week's product offer. Build your faith with these Word-based teaching materials. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. October 13th through 14th, join the Copelands at the Venezuela Victory Campaign at the Palacio de Eventos de Maracaibo in Maracaibo, Venezuela. November 9th through 11th, the Copelands invite you to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. And in 2018, April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.